What's going on, guys? Thanks for tuning in to today's show. I hope you're having a wonderful day. Wherever you're listening from, I always like to imagine where you're listening from. Not just geographically, but like in the car, going on a walk, at the gym, lying on your bed, doing the dishes, laundry. Those are my main podcasting atmospheres. So wherever you're coming from, whatever one of those, watch where you're walking, watch where you're driving. Hope you're relaxing on the bed. Get those dishes done, clean the sink, and I hope you are having a wonderful day. Today, I have a great show for you where it's a new topic that we've never discussed on the show and an important one, and that is having a baby out of wedlock. And when nearly half of all babies born are out of wedlock, that's an important thing to be able to navigate. And that's why I was happy to have Jim Braz on the show. And Jim and his now wife, Jessica, wrote an award-winning book, Baby Out of Wedlock, Co-Parenting Basics from Pregnancy to Custody. And we talk about just that. They've done a lot of work in this field, and it's really just based on their own experiences and professional insights in how to do this better, because obviously it comes with a lot of issues. They each had custody battles in court, which you really want to avoid. And Jim and I discuss ways to do that with really actionable tips that I know can save a lot of you out there a lot of pain and frustration. As you might know, Sarah and I are divorced and we co-parent our wonderful daughter, Stella. And I feel extremely fortunate to have a great co-parenting relationship with Sarah and a partner, a co-parent who is very cooperative. But we still had, you know, issues around agreeing to certain things, and we'll continue to have that as we co-parent. And we have what I think is maybe the best kind of relationship you could possibly have as parents to someone, a child who you're not romantically involved with the parent. But, you know, there's situations where it's a one-night stand and you have a kid together and you barely know the other person. So I can imagine that can be extremely difficult. So Jim and I get into all the different tools, tips, the things that he wish he could have done differently, and ways to navigate these situations. So hope you guys find this episode valuable. I appreciate you tuning in. As always, enjoy today's show. Hey, Jim, thanks so much for joining me on the show today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Today, we're going to talk about the book that you wrote and all the work that you're doing with your wife in the field of unplanned pregnancies and single parenting. So why don't we start by having you tell our listeners what led you guys to create these resources and share them.
Sure. I'll give you the shorter version. About 10, 12 years ago, both myself and my wife each had a child with somebody that we didn't want to marry. You know, we were in relationships. In my case, my girlfriend got pregnant. In her case, she got pregnant. And, you know, it was quickly apparent that we weren't going to be good. The people weren't going to be good or suitable for marriage for us. And so we started in these pregnancies that at first were not very difficult. There was no big problems, but very quickly, small questions, small arguments spiraled out of control. And so we each went through these terrible custody battles. In my case, mine lasted about 4 years. And my now wife's, hers lasted about a year. And we spent tens of thousands of dollars each. And it was just pretty much the most stressful, traumatic, terrible experience of each of our lives. Fast forward about 5 years after the births, and Jessica and I started dating and we got married and we had our first child together in 2017. And actually we have another one due in about a month. Jessica's at an appointment right now, a prenatal appointment. That's why she's not here with us. But at any rate, last year during COVID, you know, we said to ourselves, we have so many people over the last decade asking us for questions and advice about someone they know who has a baby born out of wedlock. And so we thought we should get all this information in one place, put it into a sort of guidebook of sorts, and, you know, see if we could write it all down and help people with it. And it was just kind of a little side project during COVID. We didn't really think much of it. And as we did the research for it, we realized that a full 40% of all births in the United States are babies born out of wedlock, unmarried parents. To learn, you know, that that number was so big. It's actually even bigger for mothers that are under age 30. It's a full 50%. So half of all babies that are born in the United States to mothers under 30 are unmarried parents. And as we looked around and did our research, we couldn't find one single book out there that was dedicated to this, you know, huge niche of people. And, you know, there's plenty of co-parenting books and there's plenty of divorce books out there, but the problems that these people have are unique. And so that's when we realized that, wait a minute, we got to address this. And so along with the book comes a website and a whole lot more that I guess we can talk about, but that's how it got started. It's really our own experiences that we try to, you know, package into an easy to read guidebook that can really help people get through this situation.
Let's talk about the trials and tribulations, and please feel free to insert your own stories. But what are some of the big things that come up? And obviously we want to talk about the tools to be able to navigate it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's so many of them, and it really, you know, the answer to your question can sort of depend on what your starting point is. You know, if you're already living together with somebody, your questions and problems might be a little bit different than if it was someone you've only known, you know, for one night or a short period of time. But, you know, we have basically a list on our website. We call them the top 12 concerns. And these are the most common questions that we get from people in this situation. So number one on the list is paternity tests. You have, you know, sometimes it's a mother that may not be certain who the father is. And then more often it's a father who says, well, how can I be sure it's mine? And so that's a classic example of during the pregnancy, you might get into some kind of an argument about, well, there should be a paternity test. And maybe the mother is saying there shouldn't, you know, we don't need one. You should trust me. And there can be this stupid little argument that spirals into a disastrous thing where people are hiring lawyers and it's a massive custody battle and they're not speaking to each other anymore. And so that's a tiny little thing where we address in our book, where we say, listen, you don't need to fight over a paternity test during the pregnancy. And the reason for that is it's pretty much standard operating procedure that once the baby's born, as long as either party, you know, requests a test, there will be a test. Not to mention that nowadays you can get, you know, 23andMe or Ancestry.com and get one off the shelf. But it's very easy to test for paternity after the baby's born. And there's no reason to argue about it before the baby's born, even if you have your you know, suspicions that, you know, something might not be right. So that's one example. Another example would be people want to know, you know, where do I look for a family law attorney? So in my situation, I was living up in New York State, and my daughter's mother was down south in the Washington, D.C. area. And just figuring out, well, do I get a lawyer in New York? Do I get one in Washington, in Maryland? Where do I even begin here? That's another question that comes up. And, you know, the short answer to that question is you need to get a lawyer that's in the same jurisdiction, the same state for sure, but hopefully the same jurisdiction as the mother and child, wherever they reside. You know, I have another, you know, list of 10 other things that people worry about. And I don't know if you want me to go through them all right now, but the real point is that all these problems are solvable if the two people learn how to see the situation from each other's point of view. And rather than just come at it as, you know, you're trying to screw me over and you're just want child support, or you're just want to take the baby away from me, or, you know, rather than getting very defensive, which leads to all kinds of terrible things, if they can learn to see the situation from each other's point of view, if they can learn that the child will be better off with two involved parents rather than one parent that is, you know, calling all the shots and the only one in the picture, if they can get their head around that, then all of a sudden, a lot of these issues get diffused. And I can remember in my situation, getting in a terrible argument before the child was born, before my daughter was born, about overnight visits. My daughter's mother didn't want me to have an overnight visit till the child was age 4 or 5 years old. And if you know anything about the situation, you would know that that's kind of not likely to happen. That's kind of unlikely. That's not a reasonable request. And that if we went up in a court battle, that no judge is going to make the dad wait till age 5 to have an overnight visit. And so that's the kind of thing. If she had read the book and if I had read the book, we would have both known that this isn't something to get in a terrible argument about, during the second trimester. It's something that's going to get resolved after the baby's born. And your feelings about this issue are likely to change over the coming months. And there's no reason to argue about it during the pregnancy. And so that's, kind of where we were coming from. We thought, I can remember during the pregnancy trying to get answers on this sort of thing from lawyers. And the answer I often got was, well, it depends. Depends on this, depends on that. How much is child support going to be? Well, it depends. When am I going to be able to have an overnight visit? Well, it depends. And the lawyers just never want to commit to a firm answer. Some of the good or better ones, some of them will give you some, a narrower answer. But a lot of times it just always felt like you weren't getting a straight answer. And then that would lead to further arguments with your co-parent. So the goal of the book is to try to answer those questions, limit the arguing, limit the escalation. And really, if you have two people that have read the book and really have a good sense of what the expectation should be, there's no reason that there has to be a custody battle at all. You'll need a lawyer no matter what to, finalize some paperwork, but you really shouldn't have to pay that lawyer very much money as long as the two of you are coming at it from the same, same place of co-parenting in a healthy way for your child.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. When you work full-time, have kids, and run a podcast, it's hard to make time for a multiple-step skincare protocol. That's why I'm excited to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. Let me repeat it. They make it easy. No complicated routine, just simple, scientifically validated solutions. If you're looking for skincare products that are simple and effective, for a limited time, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your first OneSkin purchase when using the code IDO when you check out at oneskin.co. I've been using OneSkin's body lotion for about a month, and I've already seen noticeable improvements with small wrinkles and textures on my skin, specifically on the back of my neck and the back of my hands, two places where I get a lot of sun. Plus, my skin looks and feels healthier all around. It's all thanks to OneSkin's revolutionary OS-01 peptide, the first ingredient proven to deactivate aging cells responsible for lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin. Unlike traditional skincare products that only mask symptoms, OneSkin pioneered a new approach integrating tissue engineering and cutting-edge science to enhance skin biology for lasting resilience against aging. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code IDO at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code IDO. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support your show and tell them we sent you. Do you want to know one of my favorite meals? It's a slice of toasted bread with tomato, mozzarella, basil, olive oil, salt and pepper, and a little drizzle of balsamic glaze. Makes my heart happy. It's so simple. It's so delicious. And I love that all the ingredients get to show off their individual flavors. I used to eat it all the time as my easy go-to meal. And then all of a sudden, there was a ton of messaging out there telling me that I shouldn't eat carbs and that I shouldn't eat bread and that bread is bad. And I hate to admit it, but I cut out bread entirely for the longest time. And it wasn't until recently that I started to understand that not all bread is created equal. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. I highly recommend that you give their bread a try. They're giving Relationship Advice listeners 10% off when you visit hero.co and use the code IDO at checkout. I was so excited to discover Hero Bread. It's truly amazing, and they've made a product that is tasty and soft while having 0 to 1 grams of net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and high in fiber. I'm not going to lie, their white bread is so good, and it makes the best tomato and mozzarella sandwich. Last week, Stella and I were back in Florida visiting our family, and we all walked to the lake, and the only bread we had in the house was Hero Bread. So we grabbed a slice, walked to the lake, and by the time we got there, Stella had eaten the whole piece of bread and, of course, wanted more. So the poor ducks didn't get any Hero Bread, but Stella did. Since I had cut out bread for a while, every time I ate low-quality bread, my body felt bad. It felt bloated and I didn't feel great. But with Hero Bread, I feel good after eating it, which makes my life so much easier because now I can go back to my easy grab-and-go sandwiches when I'm on the run. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code IDO at checkout. That's IDO at hero.co.
What are the specific steps you would tell someone? Let's go with the example of arguing about overnight visits. What would you tell that, I won't call them couple, but co-parents, what would you tell them to do? You said just to kind of table it seemed like, but what are the specific steps that they can do?
Well, you know, again, it depends on exactly what phase you are in your situation. I mean, if you're still during the pregnancy, I would say, yeah, table it. Just, you know, get the baby out safely, wait for the birth. You know, you don't need to get into heated arguments during at this stage. Now, as time goes on, after the birth comes, at some point, somebody is going to have to initiate the legal process. So this is one thing a lot of people don't realize is that even if the father signs the birth certificate, you know, saying, yes, this is my child, I believe it is, I agree it is, that gets him on the hook for child support, but it doesn't give him any real parenting rights. He doesn't have any decision-making rights. He doesn't have any alone time, parenting time rights. And the only way he can get those rights is if he asks the courts. And again, every state is slightly different. So you always have to talk to a local lawyer about the specific situation. But the only way he's going to have any of those parenting rights is if he gets the law involved. Now, that doesn't automatically mean it has to be a battle. But the specific steps would be, sometime shortly after the birth, one of the parents, it could be the mother, it doesn't have to be the father, because one reason the mother might want it to hurry up is oftentimes she's the one on the receiving end of the child support, so she may want to initiate the process for that reason. And so one party or the other says, okay, I want our child to have, you know, two parents with such and such visitation time and such child support. You know, I want to follow the standard child support calculations for my place and state. And somebody has to initiate the process. So then the next step is the person that receives that legal document can either agree or can say, no, I disagree with all the things they're asking for. I want to make a battle out of this. And so that's where it pays to sort of know what's reasonable. And if you're sitting there saying, I don't want my, you know, daughter's father to have an overnight visit for 5 years, then you're likely to have a battle on your hand. If you're saying, I don't mind having overnight visits, but let's wait till at least a year, then that's the kind of thing that, all right, well, that's not so crazy. And, you know, as long as the father is seeing the baby, you know, maybe not overnight, but, you know, as often as he can or wants to otherwise, that might be okay. And so you work through these issues with the help of the mediators and attorneys, and you try to get to a negotiating place where you realize, all right, this is a good situation for the baby. It's a good situation for both parents. We're not going to go and have some judge decide, you know, how often we're going to see our kids. We're going to decide it on our own here. But you each have to be within the realm of reasonable. So you know, that's kind of the steps you want to take is shortly after the birth, one party wants to initiate this process and then get the other one to sort of come at it from a point of cooperation rather than a point of, you know, hatred and I'm going to do everything I can to screw you in this process.
What would you tell someone who is really trying to get to that point of cooperation and one of the baby's parents is just not there? And I know every situation is different, but let's just say that that's where they're at. It feels like we can't talk about anything. You know, we're kind of arguing. We need to cooperate for the sake of the baby. What are some of the dialogues? How can we communicate with the other parent in order to get to a place of cooperation? Because yeah, going to the courts, I mean, that's just going to be a mess.
Yeah, it really can become a terrible mess. And sometimes I was sort of found myself in the situation you described where, you know, my daughter was 3 or 4 months old and I was going to visit her in her home and her mother let me, you know, welcomed me into the home as often as I wanted to be there. But, you know, she was a big fan of this attachment parenting thing. And I don't want to get too far into off the subject here, but, you know, attachment parenting is one of those things where the mother breastfeeds around the clock and anytime the baby cries, you have to make sure the baby stops crying right away. So if I would come down there for a visit and, you know, I would hold the baby for a moment and, you know, as all babies do, they start crying, then it's like, okay, and pass her back. I have to solve this. And, you know, I'm not saying I wanted to make my child cry, but it was, you know, it would have gone on like that for months and months and months or years and years and years. And so, you know, I said to her about 3 months in, like, you know, we need to get this, you know, finalized or we need to get a plan in place. And so that's called a parenting plan. You probably have something like that if you're divorced. And it basically just describes at what times of the week you're going to transition the child from one home to the other, all those kinds of things. And so when you're dealing with an infant and you have one parent that is just too, you know, I'll say afraid or too about letting the child out of sight, usually the way you solve that is you do some kind of a phase-in. And so this is where one of those things that's very different than when you're getting divorced with an older child. You know, a very young child who's with mom 24/7, you don't want to just dump them with dad for the weekend, you know, when they're 6 months old. That might not go too well for anybody. And so what is a better situation is usually you do some kind of phase-in where for 3 or 4 or 5 months you ramp up the alone time with the parent that is not you know, the non-custodial parent. And so, in my case, that was fine with me. The problem is that, you know, my daughter's mother had an idea of, you know, years for a phase-in and my idea was months. And so when you have two people that just can't agree on it, we sort of come down to the 1 year mark. And the reason on the 1 year mark is because if you start a legal battle right after the child's born, it's going to probably take about a year before you get in front of a judge who's going to decide the situation if you haven't solved your case yet, if you haven't settled your case yet. And so if mom, let's just say mom saying overnight visit shouldn't start for many years, you know, in the future, and dad is saying, I want them right now when the baby's not even a year, then what's going to happen? Well, it's not going to happen before a year because you're not going to be in front of the judge before a year. So you might as well give that position up. Dad might as well say, all right, fine. In order to avoid a court battle, I'll settle for a phasing in over the first 12 months. I don't need to have overnight visits for the first year. And conversely, mom ought to say, well, he's going to get overnight visits once we get in front of the judge because that's just the way it goes. I understand that's how the world works. And therefore, I might as well stop asking to wait 5 years. I might as well just settle for a phase in that lasts 1 year. And so, you know, I don't know if I'm getting a little bit off track there, but the main point is that you need the two parties to figure out what are the realistic expectations that can get you to a place of compromise.
That is a great point of emphasis right there, of just kind of like getting out of the conflict mindset and just saying, hey, like, let's try to be reasonable, you know, and what are the expectations? And let's get to a point of cooperation. And yeah, you might have a parent who's got, hey, I want to do this attachment parenting. And that's going to be like this very rigid structure and it's hard to fit you in. And the reality is even if you're together in a romantic relationship with the baby, like that is hard. That creates all kinds of issues. Obviously, this is separate, but couples that are together are going to argue about how to parent, you know, and you're going to have to compromise, and you're going to do the same when you're not with that partner. And in some ways it could be harder, or in some ways maybe easier, but just getting to that place of cooperation. And yeah, maybe it's sitting down and going, hey, okay, let's not argue. Tell me what your expectations are, you know, for the first 6 months. How do you see things going? And maybe just listening, right?
Absolutely. Listening helps. And, you know, like pain points is a good word. You know, everybody has some things that they really care about. And if you can identify what those are and sort of trade them a little bit and say, all right, I'm going to give you some of the things that are really important to you. Do the same for me. And I just had to realize and accept that that's not something I should fight for 50-50. And so, you know, all I was asking for at that point was I just wanted to have the, you know, standard, if you will, visiting parent, which I don't like that term because it sounds like one parent less than the other. But what I settled for was the every other weekend and some, you know, occasional other time and extra holidays and summer vacation time and so forth. The one thing people don't realize, and I was certainly guilty of this, is that you think you're going to get your day in court and it's going to be like, you know, some movie or Law and Order episode where you stand up there and you tell your story and you're going to tell your story perfectly and the judge is going to rule in your favor. You're probably not going to tell your story as eloquently as you thought. The other lawyer is going to cross-examine you and make you look like a fool. The judge is going to assume that both parties are lying at least a little bit or not telling the whole truth. And he's not really going to believe either one of you because he talks to about, you know, 10 of you people a day. And, you know, he doesn't really have time to worry or care about any of you. And if you go that route and you get to that trial, it's not going to end up like you want. And you're going to end up in a terrible place when it's over with most of your problems not solved and having no real recourse on how to, you know, get through future disputes. So what you want to do is solve this on your own with the help of the professionals, you know, mediators and so forth. But you want to come up with a parenting plan with your co-parent that has a really good dispute resolution mechanism in it. And we talk a lot about this in the book because, you know, it took me 4 years to get to this place. What happened with me was, you know, we had our parenting plan finally that we agreed on. It had a very long phase in, but it basically, you know, was acceptable to me. But then the problem was that, you know, mom was not honoring. You know, she was, you know, missing, you know, time or showing up very late or, you know, the details of it don't matter. But in my opinion, she was not abiding by the parenting plan we had agreed to. And so when you try to go back to court to get that enforced, it's kind of impossible. Like, you know, how are you going to sue someone for being 30 minutes late every week that you're supposed to meet them? It just, you can't win that battle, right? And so finally, after 4 years of that, we finally got what's called a parenting coordinator. And a parenting coordinator is something that we now recommend all new parents that are in this situation to start off with from right off the get-go. Parenting coordinator is sort of like a mediator, except that they have binding legal authority to make decisions if you guys can't compromise on your problems. And so the way this works is you, in your parenting plan, you have a section called dispute resolution. And it basically says, if the parents can't agree on an issue, then they will go through these steps to solve the issue. And usually those steps are pretty crappy steps. They don't really solve issues in real life. But the one step you can add, which really helps, is that you agree to visit your parenting coordinator if you have a dispute that you need help. And a parenting coordinator is a professional, you know, someone with a sort of a mediator type degree, a law degree. You know, they're professionally trained for this situation. And their job is to keep the parents compromising for the best interest of the child, right? And so one example would be, we were having arguments about, you know, where to meet. I like to take the train. She liked to drive. And we were always arguing about, you know, where are we going to meet up on Fridays and Saturdays to transition the child? And so our parenting coordinator helped us come up with the solution that, look, you guys can just meet at the train station. And that sounds like a simple answer, but we weren't getting there on our own. We needed this third party to say, that sounds reasonable, and sort of push us in that direction. And then once we decided on it, the parenting coordinator has it on record that the two parents have decided to meet at the train station from now on. And that's going to be the law of the land until we have a meeting where they decide to meet somewhere else someday. And when I say that she has the weight of the law behind her, it means that if one parent doesn't abide by that decision, there's at least a record on file from a third party professional who can, you can later go to the judge and say, look, even the parenting coordinator agrees that this is what we agreed on and it wasn't being followed. And so it shines some sunshine, if you will, in the situation. It brings a third party to the room to get you to sort of stop screaming at each other and come up with solutions that work. And when you're in a baby out of wedlock situation, I mean, it's different than a divorce because you probably don't know the person as well as if you got divorced. Right? When you get divorced, you kind of, you know your ex, you know what they're like inside and out. You probably live together. But when you're in this other situation, a baby out of wedlock situation, you really may not know the kind of person you're dealing with. And you really need to have this sort of third party mechanism in place to help you through these disputes. And if I had had this from day one, we wouldn't have gone back to court, you know, four times over the following 4 years after my daughter was born. So that's what we really recommend everybody start out with. There's no harm to it. You don't have to do it forever. It usually renews on an annual basis. And if one party doesn't want to renew it, then you just say, I'm not going to do it anymore. And then you go back to the old way of, you know, fighting and screaming at each other and being dysfunctional. But if you want to stay with some function in your life, get the parenting coordinator.
Before we continue on, we're going to take a short break to tell you about our sponsors. Hey, Love Tribe. I just want to ask you a few questions. I want to know why you guys are here. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner? Do you want to feel truly heard? Are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? And let's not forget about the fun. Do you long for those fun, giggly moments at the beginning of your relationship? Over the last decade of hosting this podcast with Chase, these have been our top questions. And we get it. We've been there. And that's why we created Spark My Relationship course, because we wanted to put the tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. So we're offering this course, Spark My Relationship, for only $100 until April 6th. In less than 90 days, this self-paced course will help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner, all while having fun doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 psychologists and therapists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their clients. This offer is only going to last until Saturday, April 6th. So head on over to our website, sparkmyrelationship.com, and use the code FLASH24 at checkout to get the course for only $100. That's nearly 60% off, and it won't last. The sale ends April 6th. That's sparkmyrelationship.com and use the code FLASH24 to get our course for only $100. Hey, Love Tribe. I have just a few questions for you. I want to know why you are here listening to the podcast. Are you here because you want to stop bickering with your partner and you want to feel truly heard? Or are you looking for ways to reignite your sex life? Or do you want to feel more emotionally connected with your partner? Or do you just long for those fun, giggly moments of connection that you used to have at the beginning of your relationship? Well, over the last decade of hosting this podcast, those were the main reasons people tuned into the show. And we get it. We've been there. So we created our course, Spark My Relationship, because we wanted to put those tools to unlocking a fulfilling relationship right in your hands. We're offering $100 off our course, Spark My Relationship, which is a self-paced course designed to help you create more passion, improve your communication, and build a stronger, more intimate connection with your partner and have an amazing time doing it. We've collaborated with over 15 therapists and psychologists to bring you the strategies that marriage therapists teach their clients. So to unlock this special offer of our course, our listeners can visit sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock to get $100 off. That's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock.
Yeah, that seems really important. And obviously there's all kinds of situations, a one night stand and you have a baby, you're together romantically and you have a baby, then you split apart and everything in between. But one thing from doing the show and personally that's helped me a lot is understanding that it's okay to seek professional help. And especially in a situation like this, that's so complicated, that's so loaded with emotions and feelings around another human being coming into the world. And to me, I think that can be the conversation. Even if it's best case is you guys are talking, communicating well, friendly, but even then, it's so complicated, all the different exchanges, what do we do, you know, overnights, this and that, that inevitably you're going to come into some resistance or some roadblocks or some disagreements. And it can just be so valuable to have that third party there. And also to communicate to your child's parent of like, hey, this is just going to be so much easier for both of us individually and together if we don't go to court. Certainly that, but if we just don't argue and make this hard on ourselves, so let's bring someone in and get things set up. And it's still going to be hard, right? But making it a lot easier on yourself. So I think that's really valuable and important information. And one thing I want to ask you, Jim, is through all of your difficulties in your situation, maybe you had the mindset or maybe you didn't. Let's say you didn't and you're retroactively looking back. What do you wish you knew or what would you tell yourself as far as the mindset just internally of dealing with this difficult situation?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's really the million-dollar question, and you just hit it on the head. I mean, that's why we wrote this book. What would I do differently if I could go back and do it again? And, you know, I want to be clear, you know, Jessica's not here, but it's a gender-neutral book. It's not just for, you know, men to deal with the women. It's for the women to deal with difficult men as well. So what would we do differently? I think a few things come to mind right off the bat is I would have stopped arguing during the pregnancy. Because so many of these things just aren't going to be resolved for a long time after the birth comes. And there's no reason to get, you know, especially a pregnant woman who I know, Jessica, right now, it's like, you can't win. You know, you don't want to be in an argument and getting somebody upset when they're pregnant. It's just not fair to them. It's not fair to you. And it's not fair to the baby. And it's just not, doesn't need to happen. So that's the first thing is I would hold off on any of that pre-birth type argument stuff. You know, after the birth, like I said, you know, the number one thing we recommend is this parenting coordinator that can really help. All the things that have come around in the last 10 years since we were going through it is there's these parenting apps and some of them are really great. I'm going to take a guess that you probably don't use one because, you and Sarah are so close still, but for any parents that are, you know, not cooperating or not getting along or any degree of high conflict, there's these great parenting apps. One of them is called Our Family Wizard. And you communicate through them as much as you want. We recommend if you have a high conflict situation that you do all your communication through them. So that would be, you know, phone calls, text messages, has calendar sharing features. You can, you know, pass receipts back and forth, you know, request for payments, all kinds of things that you might need to communicate with your co-parent, you do it through the app. And the benefit of that is that everything is on, is sort of documented and has a spotlight on it, such that if there's any bad behavior by either party, maybe that's abusive text messages or somebody that, you know, calls 10 times a night because they, you know, they want to harass you for whatever reason, all that kind of stuff is documented and easily reportable to the courts. And so, you know, perfect example, somebody you were working with, their ex was just totally, you know, narcissistic type behavior, really being nasty, but it was all on the app. And all she had to do was print out the report, show it to the person in the, that she was working with in the course. And, you know, right away that put an end to it. And, you know, when people don't have sunshine on their behavior, that's when it gets nasty. But when everything's out in the open and everybody can see it and it's easily reportable, people tend to, you know, behave better. So we definitely recommend that kind of a thing, you know, using these new parenting apps. And, you know, the parenting coordinated parenting apps. And I guess that's the main things I would say. I'm looking at my list here. But, you know, I guess that's it. That's the main stuff. I mean, the rest of it is a lot of details. But you really just have to figure out a way to let the small stuff go. Worry about the big stuff. Realize that, you know, 10 years is going to fly by in a flash. That realize that the courts and the judges are not going to help you. They can't. You know, you have a, if you have a dysfunctional parenting situation, a judge is not going to be able to solve that for you. And if you're in this mindset of, oh, I got to get more evidence, I got to trap the co-parent, you know, saying something dumb or doing something bad or any of that stuff, you're going down the wrong path. And then finally, I mean, the most important thing, and I wouldn't say I would do this differently because I think this is one of the few things we did right, is, you know, you can't let your child be in the middle of it. They shouldn't be, you know, passing messages back and forth between parents. They should never hear you talk bad about your co-parent or their families. You know, you really don't want to do that to your child. They need two parents involved. It doesn't mean they have to have 50-50 time with both parents, but they need to have two parents that are involved and respected. And to the degree that you can, you know, help that to happen, even if you dislike your co-parent for some reason, it's important to your child that, you know, they believe that you respect them. And so you want to try to work towards that. And if you can get some of those things done in that way, then you should be fine. And there really should be no reason that you need to have a terrible battle with, you know, anybody. 40-50% of all kids in the United States are born into this situation these days. And really, there's no reason that most of them can't, you know, live happily ever after, if you will, you know, if you follow some of these tips.
Well, thank you, Jim. The work that you guys are doing is so important because, like you said, the number of kids that are born out of wedlock, and you've gone through it. And so, you know, firsthand, and you could save, and you are saving a lot of people a lot of trouble if they will implement these things. So I'm happy to be able to share your information with our audience. Before we wrap up, can you tell our listeners where they can find you online? Can you also maybe recommend a specific parenting app if you have one? And then we'll say goodbye.
Sure. The app that I was referring to before is called Our Family Wizard. That's sort of the oldest one that's been around the longest. There are a few others. And to be perfectly honest, I'm not vouching for one or the other because I haven't done them directly, but I've, you know, read a lot and heard a lot about them. I think you probably can't go wrong with Our Family Wizard. As far as we go, our website is www.babyoutofwedlock.com. On that platform, we have a lot of free resources. And we are happy to get on the phone with anybody that asks for a free, you know, sort of coaching session, get you pointed in the right direction, get your head straight, find you the resources that you need. You know, if you need a mediator, if you need a lawyer, if you need a parenting coordinator, you know, whatever it is that you need, we can help point you in that right direction. We don't charge for any of that kind of thing. We're really just there to sort of help, you know, get people pointed in the right direction. The book is available on Amazon. It's won 5 awards so far, which really blew our socks off. I mean, we've never written anything before, and to have the first, you know, book that we've written receive awards, and it got something called a Kirkus Starred Review, which we're pretty proud of, which is another badge of quality. So, you know, the books on Amazon, that's the only thing we sell. Everything else we're doing here for free. And we're just hoping to, you know, help as many people as we can with some of this relatively simple information. You know, our subtitle is Co-Parenting Basics from Pregnancy to Custody. And they really are basics. There's not rocket science here. It's just getting some basic questions answered to help you avoid some, you know, common pitfalls. But I thank you for having me on, Chase. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Jim. And our listeners can find all the links in our show notes and on our website at idopodcast.com. And thanks for taking the time.
All right. Appreciate it. Take care.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into today's episode. As always, all the links to the guest, as well as any of their recommendations, will be in the show notes page. You can find the link to that in the episode description or by going to idopodcast.com. Click on the podcast tab up at the top and you will have access to all the episodes that we've ever done. There are over 300 of them. And while you're on our website, if you haven't checked out our free 14-day Happy Couple Challenge, we really hope you do. It's a free email challenge that we send to you. It's 14 days of fun, easy, doable challenges to help strengthen and improve your relationship. And if you're looking for something that provides a little more help with working on your relationship, whether it's improving intimacy or communication with your partner, or just bringing the spark back, we would love for you guys to check out our online course, Spark My Relationship. We're offering $100 off to all of our listeners if you go to sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. We've worked with over 15 psychologists and therapists to create the real life tools and strategies that they are teaching their clients. So we wanted to give them to you. It's a self-paced online course that can be done in as little as a month or up to 3 months. You can really decide how much or how little you want to do with your partner, or maybe just yourself. So we hope you guys check that out. It's sparkmyrelationship.com/unlock. Have a great day.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.